The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Wednesday, July 3rd. We are on the eve of Independence Day, the 4th of July. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Folks, we've got a lot to cover on tonight's program. Before we get started, as always, please smash that like button. Hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. This is going to help us get our material out there on these platforms and get noticed on Rumble and YouTube as well. You guys listen by Apple or by Spotify, be sure to share this podcast as well. And listen, if you're new, first time joining us, we want to welcome you to the program. Let us know in the comment section below that if you can, that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. So as I've said, we have a lot to cover tonight, so go ahead and get you a cup of coffee, a glass of tea, a soda, or whatever you need to stay focused and stay alert and stay pay attention, because there is a lot of stuff that's unfolding that you need to know about. There's a new report that Joe Biden is seriously considering withdrawing from the race, according to a source from New York Times. U.S. President Joe Biden is seriously considering withdrawing from the presidential election race. The publication reported today, as of the recording of this on Wednesday, July 3rd, that Biden told a key ally that he is aware he may not be able to salvage his candidacy if he is unable to convince the public that he is up for the job over the next few days. And I want to say this, there are speculation. And again, I cannot confirm this. There is some that speculate that he may even withdraw either. The announcement could come as early as tomorrow on July 4th of Independence Day, or shortly after, which could be on Friday before we head into the 4th or the weekend of Independence Day. This all follows a disastrous performance from the president last week's first presidential debate against Donald Trump. The New York Times stated that Biden's ally emphasized that Biden is still deeply in the fight for re-election. However, the president is said to acknowledge, that his next few appearances must go well. If correct, the conversation would represent the first sign to the public that the president is considering whether he's able to recover from a poor showing on the debate stage in Atlanta, Georgia last week. There have been significant concerns regarding his viability as a candidate and whether he could serve as a president for another 4 years. Furthermore, the New York Times stated that a top advisor to Joe Biden, speaking on the condition of anonymity, told them that the president was, quote, well aware of the political challenge he faces. Now, the question that arises is, what would happen if Joe Biden were to step down as the president of the United States? If this was to take place, this would mean that the vice president, Kamala Harris, would assume the presidency. Of course, this would be in accordance with the Presidential Cessation Act and the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which outlines the line of secession in the event that the president is unable to fulfill their specific duties. There is also speculation, and again, this is all speculation, guys. There's none of this is solid at this point. Again, let's recap this real quick before I move on. There is speculation that Joe Biden is seriously considering stepping aside. If this was to take place under the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, Vice President Kamala Harris would fill his shoes at least until November. Now, there is also speculation, and this is rumbling across all kinds of social media outlets and all kinds of podcasts and so on and so forth, that we could see Michelle Obama also come in November to fill in the candidacy, and she would be a nominee. Now, while Michelle Obama replacing Joe Biden as the Democratic candidate for the 2024 presidential election, while it's theoretically possible for this to happen, there are some key factors that I want to point out here. Number one, the primary process for this election is already well underway, and the candidates' campaigning, fundraising, and participation in debates, replacing Biden would require a significant and unprecedented shift in the Democratic Party's strategy and logistics. Number two, Michelle Obama has consistently stated that she has no interest in running for political office, including the presidency. Even though this keeps getting brought up in podcasts and topics, her focus has been on other initiatives and advocacy work since leaving the White House. Number three, replacing a sitting president, albeit this would be Joe Biden, as the party's nominee could create significant division within the Democratic Party. And replacing him without a strong, unified reason could harm the party's chances in the general election. This is why, again, this is why you have all these speculations floating and going around here. You've even got Governor Gavin Newsom in the run of the possible contenders for this. Historically, it is rare for a sitting president to be replaced as a nominee by their party unless there are extraordinary circumstances. Interesting. Such as severe health issues or scandals. Now, in this circumstance, if I'm just going to throw this out there, if a team of doctors come forward, physicians, and stated that after further evaluation of the president, and again, this would be backed by, there's a large amount of Democrats that are backing Biden stepping aside for the good of the Democratic Party. If there was a number of physicians or a well-respected physician that was to come forward, let's, for example, under a press release or an announcement saying that Joe Biden, after further test, cognitively cannot function and cannot carry out presidential duties, and there's no way he's fit to carry on for an additional 4 years of presidency, then this would fall under this category. Biden is currently serving as president, and in any attempt to replace him would need to be justified by significant and compelling reasons. Guys, we have that. The significant and compelling reason to have him step down, step aside, or be replaced is all there. None of us can argue that. If you watch the debate, if you've seen this over and over again, listen, you know it's bad even when the Democrats are saying, yeah, we see it. We are aware of it. We acknowledge it. And even we are saying this guy needs to be replaced. So now we're going to kind of turn gears here because you probably saw our thumbnail for this. We did it. Our thumbnail talks about, could William Branham's prophecy soon become a reality? Now, what does that even mean? Well, let me talk about William Branham. William Branham was a prominent, charismatic Pentecostal preacher in the 1930s, 1940s. In June of 1933, William Branham had a series of seven prophetic visions concerning events leading up to the end times and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you these seven visions, and I'm going to focus on today, especially today in this segment, we're going to highlight one specific vision, but I want to talk about these seven. Number one, Branham saw the rise of Mussolini. Branham said in his vision, and there's a number of people, guys, that will credit this and tell you this is exactly what Branham saw, and he stated, he wrote it down, and it happened. Branham saw the rise of Mussolini invading Ethiopia and the African nation's subsequent downfall. He prophesied that Mussolini would die of a terrible death, rejected by his own people. Number two, Branham foresaw the rise of Hitler and the onset of World War II. He saw vast destruction and the eventual downfall of Hitler, who would suffer a mysterious end. Interesting. Again, number three, Branham saw the advancement in technology. Now, keep in mind, this was in 1933. Branham envisioned three great isms. Branham said he saw fascism, Nazism, and communism that would rise. He predicted that the first two would be swallowed up by the third, and communism would become a dominant force. He also foresaw advances in technology, particularly in the realm of transportation, with cars becoming more streamlined and egg-shaped, eventually leading to driverless vehicles. Again, to Branham's credit, this was, he saw this in the 1930s, 1933 to be exact. Guys, this kind of technology did not exist. And by the way, Daniel saw the explosion of transportation. He said, many shall run to and fro. Technology is advancing to breakneck speeds. And technology is advancing at a breakneck speeds right now. And it's driven by multiple factors. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, quantum computing, biotechnology, the explosion of the internet, the proliferation of connected devices and creating vast amounts of data, enabling new applications in smart homes, cities, industries. You've got 5G, eventually be 6G, and this is only going to continue to expand. Renewable energy, storage, space exploitation, all these things are playing a factor. And again, by the way, all of that is also a sign of prophecy. Daniel said that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. So he talks about knowledge increasing and transportation advancing. So again, Branham in the 1930s saw egg-shaped vehicles that would possess no driver behind the wheel. They would be driverless. This was unheard of in 1933, but we all know now, here we are 2024, and this is now reality, made a reality, and I believe Google was the one that spearheaded this. Branham, number four. The fourth vision, Branham saw moral decline. He predicted a significant moral decline in the United States with a focus on the rise of promiscuity, the absence of clothes. There's another word we could use there, but again, I try to skirt around some of these things so we could keep these programs up. He saw promiscuity. He saw the absence of clothes and the general public and a general loss of morals altogether. He foresaw an increase in female leadership and the growing influence of women in public and private life. Again, we have to keep in mind, we hear this, and there's no shock value to this because we're in 2024. But when you think about when he got this vision in 1933, think about everything that's happening right now. Think about what's trending, what's culturally relevant, what's being put in our face by media, social media, television industry, the Hollywood industry, the music industry. We are literally Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0. I could spend another 25 minutes and talk about that alone, but I think everybody understands this that follow our program. Number five. Branham predicted, listen to this, all right? Branham predicted that a powerful woman would rise in the United States. He said this would either be a woman or a woman-backed organization. He didn't know for certain. I'm going to say that again. He said it was either a woman, a single woman that would rise to power in the United States of America. This was his fifth vision. Or it'd be a woman-backed organization leading the nation of America into a significant crisis. Some interpretations of this vision speculate that there would be a female president or a prominent woman in position of leadership of America before its collapse. Now, why am I bringing this up today? I want to read you I'll go ahead and read number six and number seven, but I want to put my tent stake right here for a second and talk about this. The reason why I'm talking about this today is because there is speculation that if they come up with a valid reason for the current sitting president of the United States to step down and step aside, then under the 25th Amendment, Vice President Kamala Harris, who is a female, would make history becoming the first female sitting president of the United States. Howbeit, it may be for a short term, but it would still it would still be there. Or if somehow we make it through all the way into the election and Michelle Obama gets on the ticket and she wins the presidency. Now, you do not, now, this is not my opinion, by the way, so don't send me some nasty emails and message me and blast me. There's a lot of polls, and you can believe what you want. Polls on the left, polls on the right, different organization. But I've seen many pundits say that of all the contenders, you've got RFK Jr., you've got Newsom, you've got, again, if she accepts it and runs, Michelle Obama. So there is, of all the, you know, of these three top contenders, they say that they believe, again, according to polls, pundits, RFK Jr. would not defeat Trump. They say they don't believe that Newsom would defeat Trump, but there is a large group out there that believe that Michelle Obama, of all of these, would be the one that could take Trump down. So, what am I talking about? If she was to win this race, if she was to put her hat in, she gets through this and she wins. I know this is a huge step forward here, and it's an hypothesis, but I'm just painting this picture. Then either one of these could fulfill Branham's prophecy. This is interesting, especially when I read on here. Let me go back to number six and number seven. Number six, isn't this interesting? So watch this. Branham sees all of these things happen. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and all of them has been fulfilled, by the way. He's got 100% track record on these five visions. And then, of the four visions. Number five is yet to come. We're going to see what this is. I believe we could be on the very brink of this. All right. Now listen what number six is. Number six, Branham foresaw a catastrophic event that would lead to the destruction of parts of the U.S., leaving entire cities laid in ruins. This vision was often associated with a massive earthquake or some other natural disaster. Now, isn't it interesting that the two major headlines that Watchmen has been sounding the alarm on is this Red Dawn type of invasion, wherein which it would consist of Russia, North Korea, and China, and Iran, even throw it in there, or it's in one of those scenarios that are played out. Who is threatening us right now with nuclear war? It's Russia. Isn't it interesting that we, in 2024, this is one of the very things on the forefront, is the fear of a total global nuclear war. And Branham saw this. He saw once that woman came into power, she led the entire nation on a decline and eventually to destruction. And then he saw a catastrophic event leading to destruction of parts of the U.S. laid in cities laid in ruins. In his own commentaries, he believed that it was through the hands of Russia. Also, coinciding with that, he often associated with a massive earthquake or some other natural disasters. We've been talking about this. We've warned about the there's the Hayward Fault, the Cascadian Fault, the San Andreas Fault, the New Madrid Fault. You got the waves and seas roaring. We've got Category 5 hurricanes for the first time in the month of starting in the month of June, which has shattered records. That now they're saying that they could push it all the way up to a Category 6 hurricane. They could introduce a new level of these intensification of these hurricanes. So any of these things could play out. Then number seven, Branham envisioned the rise of the Roman Catholic Church and its increasing influence in world affairs, culminating in a powerful alliance with the U.S. He predicted that this alliance would lead to religious persecution of true Christians. Now, guys, what he saw here, in my opinion, is the rise of the final, what I would call this one world religion, this apostate Christianity, which again, I don't have time to go too much in detail this, or we won't get through this whole program. Revelation 13 talks about the rise of a false prophet. He's a lamb with two horns. I believe he will combine two major religions together. I believe through these two religions, he will form a one world religion. And this will be the religion of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And somehow, some way incorporated in that will be the mark of the beast. And again, and this is a religious mark. I believe that with all my heart, because it's the false prophet who initiates it. And this mark will represent, and again, it's the name of the beast, the number of the beast, or the mark of the beast. And it through that, you will be at a, you will be marked with your affiliation to the Antichrist and his mark. Okay. So I believe that's what he saw here. And again, we could talk about Mystery Babylon. Many people believe that is the Vatican. It's Rome. It's destroyed. I don't have time to go into that. Even though some, you've got two camps of thoughts here. Mystery Babylon is America, or the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, the headquarters there will be destroyed in 1 hour's time. So again, all we know, 1, 2, 3, and 4 have been fulfilled. Or I should say 1 through 3 has been fulfilled. Number 4 is, it's in motion right now. It's happening. Number 5, 6, and 7, I believe if the guy's got it right and has this kind of a batting average, I'm not going to just blow this off. I'm going to pay attention to this, pray into this, and be vigilant to understand what's going on. All right, it doesn't take a scientist, a rocket scientist, a genius to figure out that we are rapidly approaching a third world war. We are seeing all the makings of another global war that is rapidly approaching. Michael Snyder did a piece from themostimportantnews.com stating 10 signs that global war is rapidly approaching. I want to give you these. Don't want to spend too much time on these. I want to give you the bulletin points of these because I think this is significant. Again, it all ties in with what we're talking about. Few individuals anticipated that World War I would even erupt, but it happened anyway. And there were few that anticipated that a second world war would erupt. After all, did we not learn from the First World War? Apparently not, because it did take place. And all throughout human history, there have been wars ever since the beginning. So it's only a matter of time, friends. I believe that as generations come and go, and one generation passed away and another generation passed away, we begin to forget what we went through and the events that transpired, and it gets lost in the shuffle. And then we have a new generation that rises up, and they, and all their fathers, their mothers, their grandfathers, their grandmothers, their great grandmothers, their great grandfathers, who was directly impacted by those events, they've all gone on to be with the Lord, or they've died, and they're not around anymore. So, and with the purging of history books and history in itself, and the fundamental change of America, we're not hearing this stuff anymore. So this is why you have this rise of these Holocaust deniers. You've got all this stuff coming and emerging, because again, we're losing a lot of this in time through the shuffle and all that, and through generations passing away. So, is it going to be safe to say that we probably will eventually see a third global war? Absolutely. And I base that on the Ezekiel 38:39, guys. Many scholars call the Gog Magog war they call this World War III. Okay. So the question is, what significant signs are we seeing that's pointing us in the direction with the compass that we're on the precipice of another third world war? And number one, Israel and Hezbollah have both drafted battle plans, and the Biden administration is convinced that intense fighting is likely to break out. Number two, Iran is warning that there will be an obliterating war if the IDF enters southern Lebanon. In fact, the top advisor to Khomeini recently stated that Iran will back Hezbollah with all means if war breaks out in the Middle East. So again, this is from the Times of Israel. We recently shared this on our main website. Top advisor to Iran's supreme leader says the Islamic Republic and its proxies would support Hezbollah with all means if Israel carries out its launch in a full-blown war in Lebanon. The president of Turkey came out again he comes out every now and then and he makes these statements, and he come out recently and said, or he warned rather Israel against a war with Lebanon and calls Netanyahu mentally ill. In his statement recently, a televised statement, he stated that we see that while Western powers speak differently on camera, behind the scenes, they are patting Israel on the back and even supporting it. Plans to spread war to the region will lead to a great disaster. He went on to say that Israel's efforts to spread conflict are extremely dangerous, and Turkey stands by Lebanon against Israel's aggressive policies. Okay, stop for a second, guys. So now you have Russia that is standing with Lebanon. You have Turkey that's standing with Lebanon. Why is this significant? Because Turkey and Russia, and I'm going to throw in Persia, which is Iran. By the way, Iran and Russia have an alliance together. So you have Russia, you have Turkey, and you have Iran. You know who these three players are? They are the key main players in the War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39. See, we've talked about this. You have before that war, you have the Psalm 83 war. That coalition of nations is Edom, which is southern Jordan, the Ishmaelites, which is the Arab people there in the Arabian Peninsula. You have Moab, which is central Jordan, the Hagarites, and these are associated with Jordan and Saudi Arabia. You have Gibal, which is modern day Lebanon. They're involved in Psalm 83 war. Y'all see where this could be going? And then you have Ammon, which is northern Jordan, Amalek, which is this is associated with the Sinai Peninsula and parts of southern Israel, and the Negev. Philistia, which is, these are located in the coastal regions of the Gaza Strip. These will be these factions that you've heard about that Israel's been warring with for thousands of years. Then you have Tyre, which is modern day Lebanon as well. And then Assyria, which again, this encompasses parts of which would be modern day Syria. So again, I've said this, Syria and Lebanon is directly involved in the war of Psalm 83. But when you get to Gog and Magog, you've got different players here in this coalition. In this coalition, you have, and by the way, I want to say this, Gog, J-O-G, is a prince chief spirit, guys. Gog is involved in the war of Gog and Magog, but this one is pre-tribulation, but then you have post-tribulation, the same chief spirit, Gog, stirs up nations again, and this is why they're mentioned again. You'll read about Gog in the later on in the book of Revelation, and some think that they get confused, and they equate that war as Ezekiel 38:39, but it's not. It's two separate wars. But let me go back to Ezekiel 38:39, because this is where we're all heading. Okay, in that war, this is the big, big, big war of Ezekiel 38:39. You have Magog. This is, many scholars have associated Magog with Russia because of its geographical location directly north of Israel. You have Rosh. Many scholars associate them with Russia. So Rosh and Magog are, again, the southern Soviet Russian nations. You have Meshach and Tubal. This is modern-day Turkey. Persia, modern-day Iran. Kush, which is Sudan and Ethiopia. You have Put, which is Libya. Gomer, which is Turkey. Now look at this, Turkey, and then Beth Togarmah, which is the vicinity of modern Turkey and Armenia. So notice here, look at Ezekiel 38:39, guys. You look at the three players involved: Russia, Turkey, and Iran. But before we get to that, it's in my opinion, we will see Psalm 83 that will take place. And again, notice Syria or Assyria is not mentioned in Ezekiel 38:39. which we can only speculate why they're not mentioned, is because I believe, again, Isaiah 17 will be fulfilled. All right, so let me go back to this. Number one, we see that Israel and Hezbollah are drafting battle plans. This is transpiring. Iran's already warning that this will be an obliterating war if this carries on. Number three, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is convinced that a major war with Iran is inevitable because he believes that Iranians have plans to conquer the entire Middle East. Again, so you could see how this plays out. Ezekiel 38, guys. Number four, according to NBC News, the U.S. is moving military assets into position so that they can be ready to evacuate Americans once an all-out full war erupts between Israel and Hezbollah. Number five, Hezbollah sent approximately 40 rockets into northern Israel. Number six, Israeli aircraft bombed several Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon. Number seven, so you got all that. So one through six is all the Middle East, okay? Then number seven, we transition back to Ukraine. There's a recent report that the Biden administration is moving toward a plan that would allow U.S. military contractors to deploy to Ukraine for the first time in a limited capacity. Guys, this is not good. Putin has warned us to stay out of it. Stop supplying Ukraine with weapons. Stop supplying them with aid. Stop getting directly involved. And according to a new report from CNN, the Biden administration is moving toward a plan that would allow U.S. military contractors to deploy to Ukraine for the first time in a limited capacity. And look at this. The U.S. is set to announce $2.3 billion more in military assistance for Ukraine. Are you kidding me? Wow. Unbelievable. Here it is. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin stated this week that the U.S. will soon announce more than $2.3 billion in military assistance for Ukraine, which is one of the largest aid packages committed to Ukraine since Russia's 2022 invasion. Quote, I am proud that the U.S. will soon announce more than $2.3 billion in new security assistance for Ukraine. This package under presidential drawdown authority will provide more air defense interceptors, anti-tank weapons, and other critical munitions from U.S. inventories. Austin, during a meeting Tuesday at the Pentagon with Ukrainian defense minister, said that, quote, it will also enable the U.S. to procure more Patriot and National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile System interceptors. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sure at the recording of this, Putin is already well aware of this, and he's not going to be happy. In fact, that leads us to number eight. Putin is reportedly interested in developing a coalition of nations that would rival the West and NATO. Let me say that again. Is reportedly interested in developing a coalition of nations. Hello, Ezekiel 38, 39, Gog, Magog, Putin, number nine. Putin also recently warned that Russia will need, they will have an absolute need to begin production of intermediate range nuclear weapon systems. Let me read this quote from you, or to you rather. Quote, Russia must respond to the actions of the U.S., and it seems that if it is necessary for the country to start the production of intermediate range nuclear forces and strike systems. Quote, we need to respond to this and make decisions about what we will have to do in this direction next. Apparently, we need to start manufacturing these systems and then, based on the actual situation, make decisions about where, if necessary, to ensure our safety to deploy them. This was stated by Putin at an operational meeting with permanent members of the Russian Security Council. And then number 10, this is absolute chilling. A very influential figure in Russian foreign policy circles is absolutely... And then number 10, this is chilling. A very influential figure in Russian foreign policy circles is actually suggesting that the Russians should detonate a nuclear device in order to show the world how serious they are. Dmitry Sozlov, who is a top figure at the Moscow-based Council for Foreign and Defense Policy, has put forward the idea of Russia carrying out a, quote, demonstrative nuclear detonation, a move that could prompt the start of World War III. This alarming suggestion arises as tensions with the West intensify due to Ukraine's use of Western-supplied weaponry against Russian forces. Soslov's think tank, known to occasionally sway government policy, made this proposal publicly shortly after President Putin delivered a grave warning to NATO countries. Putin warned that if Ukraine were to employ Western arms for attacks on Russian soil, it could spark a worldwide crisis, reinforcing his point with threats of severe repercussions. And again, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin just came out and announced that he is excited that we are sending $2.3 billion in military assistance for Ukraine, including air defense and interceptors, anti-tank weapons, and other critical munitions from U.S. inventories. Folks, again, we keep pushing the bear, keep poking the bear. And listen, if you go do some history, go do some study on history, and you will realize that there was a complexity of various factors and compilations of things that took place that produced global wars. Let me read these real quick to you and tell Brother Ricky, are we seeing this again? Now, I'm basing this off World War I and World War II, okay? Number one, political tensions and alliances. High levels of political tension between major powers, often exacerbated by conflicting interests and alliances, escalate conflicts. Alliances can pull multiple countries into a conflict that might have otherwise been localized. Is that happening again? Economic factors. Severe economic problems such as depressions or significant trade disputes, recessions, can lead to international tensions. Economic sanctions, resource competition, and financial crises can contribute to the outbreak of a large-scale war. Is this happening right now? You tell me. Number three, military buildup and arms races. An arms race and significant military buildup can increase the likelihood of war. When countries heavily invest in military capabilities, they feel more inclined or pressured to use them. Is this happening? Nationalism and ideology. Strong nationalist sentiments and conflicting ideologies can drive countries into conflict. National pride to territorial ambitions and ideological differences can lead to large-scale wars. Now, that's not happening, is it? Then you have specific incidents called trigger events. These would be assassinations, attacks, territorial invasions, acts of terrorism. All these can act as a catalyst for war. These often spark existing tensions and lead to rapid escalation, further pushing us into a global war. Failed diplomacies. Ineffective diplomacy and failure to resolve conflicts through negotiations can push countries towards war. Diplomatic breakdowns, mistrust among nations. All this can lead to an inability to manage crisis peacefully. Propaganda and public sentiment. Government propaganda and public opinion can play significant roles in rallying support for war. Media portrayal of conflicts and national narratives all play a role in influencing public sentiment and decision making. And then number eight is historical grievances. Historical conflicts and unresolved grievances between nations can contribute to the likelihood of war. Long-standing disputes and historical animosities all can resurface and lead to renewed conflicts. Friends, I'm going to tell you, of these eight things I just listed, all of them are happening right now in 2024, which leads me to believe that we, again, are on the brink, and I agree with Michael Snyder's assessment on here. He gave 10 reasons why we are on the brink of a global war. All right. And before we close out this particular topic and we shift gears for the next 15 minutes to talk about a whole different subject, again, we're on the eve of Independence Day. I want everybody to remain safe, vigilant, keep your head on a swivel. The FBI just issued an alert over a terrorist attacks targeting holiday celebrations. Again, this comes from multiple sources. Again, the FBI is issuing an alert for the Independence Day tomorrow for 4th of July celebrations. This is nothing new. They've been issuing these for a long time, but you remember, there's been a lot of these warnings that keeps resurfacing and going out. There was a recent report that just came out recently that the U.S. military bases, and let me pull this up. I'm going to show you this. U.S. military bases in Europe are also on high alert over possible terrorist threats as well. According to the New York Post, several U.S. military bases in Europe were put on high alert this past weekend over a possible terror attack in the region that could target American personnel. Again, according to multiple reports, the alert is the second highest state of alarm issued by the U.S. Army. An American official at one of the bases said they had not witnessed that level in at least a decade. The U.S. Army garrison in Germany, where the U.S. European Command had its headquarters, was one of many bases that raised its status to the alert level force protection condition Charlie on Sunday. This applies when an incident occurs or intelligence is received indicating some form of terrorist action or targeting against personnel or facilities is likely, according to the arms policy. So again, if you guys are planning on going to large gatherings for 4th of July to celebrate, to taking your kids to enjoy fireworks, again, keep your head on a swivel, pay attention, stay vigilant, focus on what's going on. Don't let your guard down and be aware of what's going on. All right, so I want to talk about this. We have spoken for years about the mark of the beast. The book of Revelation chapter 13 talks about a buying selling system that is coming in the last days that will be spearheaded by the false prophet. It will be directed by the Antichrist, but it's the false prophet who actually implements this image of the beast system, buying, selling, and trading. Over the years, there's been various interpretations and beliefs on how this could come about. Because again, when you read Revelation 13, I'll pull this up for you guys so we can see this together. Again, we're in Revelation 13. It tells you that the false prophet, it says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor and free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Again, this is the New King James. In the King James translation, it says in. So that's why I've always said, it's either going to be in or on. I would be safe to say that I would go with the King James, which is an older translation, versus the New King James, which is a more newer translation, wherein they exchanged the word in to on. So again, this image of the beast will be a mark in the right hand or in the forehead. And the purpose of this is that no one may buy or sell except one who has this mark or the name or the number of his name. So as I've said, over the years, people have speculated how this is going to come about. Technological advancements. Many believe that the rapid advancement in technology, again, microchips, digital currencies, biometric systems, all are precursors, and I believe this as well, to the mark of the beast. All of these technologies are going to be used as tools for surveillance, control, all this aligning with the idea of a future where people, a society, will not be able to function or operate, cannot buy or sell without the mark. Then we have the rise of globalization and centralized power, the trend towards globalization and centralized political and economic power is all conditioning for the mark of the beast. This unified global system or unified one world government no doubt will facilitate the enforcement of such a mark. Cultural and societal shifts, the changes in societal values and norms, such as increased acceptance. Think about this. We've talked about this many times, of surveillance and diminished privacy, all can be viewed as conditioning for this. The normalization of these practices, again, putting things in their hands, chips to be used for convenience and security, Again, this will all is all conditioning for a future generation to accept these mandates. And then you have economic and political crisis that will play a role. Economic downturns, pandemics, political instability, all can lead to the increased government control and implementation of emergency measures. Hello. All of these situations are going to be no doubt ripe opportunities to introduce such a system that would include the mark of the beast. And then, of course, you have religious and ideological movements. Then, of course, you have the rise of religious and ideological movements. Again, as I've told you, the religion of the Antichrist and the false prophet, I have no doubt, will play a role. Whatever this mark, name, and number of the beast is, it's going to be incorporated into that. Now, why am I talking about this? Because there was a couple articles. There was a couple articles that came out, a couple stories that I believe are conditioning. Again, they're conditioning a society to accept this kind of controls, surveillance, and the implementation of these things. Listen to this. Wake schools want students to scan a barcode to ride the school bus. The proposal would go in effect next school year. All right, this is in North Carolina. Do I have anybody in the chat that's watching? and maybe they can comment. If you're from North Carolina, this pertains to you. The report indicates that Wake County school students riding the bus would need to scan an ID to get on the bus. Under a plan proposed by the school system this past week, the proposal would go into effect next school year. Again, that's a 2025 or going into the summer of this year, 2024. First, on yellow general education buses, officials told the school board's facilities and operations committee Tuesday. The ID, look, here it is. The ID would have a barcode on it rather than a name or photo. The student would scan the card onto a reader on the bus, telling the school system that they boarded and which bus they boarded. Now, stop. Again, parents are going to be like, well, I don't have a problem with this. This keeps me up to date with where my kid is. This is going to give me peace of mind to let me know that my child indeed got on the school bus, or they missed the school bus, or they skipped the bus and they didn't get on. They rode with somebody else, or they skipped school. So again, guys, by you saying that is the entire point of what we're saying here. These are the selling points that's going to make this desirable. The mark of the beast, when it comes, it's not here yet. When it is introduced in the tribulation and the first 42 months, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, when the Antichrist and the false prophet come rise up right after that, the 7-year treaty is broken 3.5 years into it. Then the true identity of the Antichrist is revealed and he starts implementing this mark of the beast. Society is going to be so conditioned that they are going to be begging for this. Why? Convenience, security, healthcare, all the things that is going to be incorporated into that mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Again, remember, buy, sell, and trade with this. So again, society will see things like this and they'll jump right on it. Who wouldn't, right? After all, you keep track of your kids. Who wouldn't put a chip in their pet? After all, if my pet runs off, it gets lost, it's been chipped. I can track my pet. Why wouldn't I want to get a chip in my hand? And I lose my keys to my car. I lose my keys to my house. I can just put my hand up on the biometrics or whatever, and it reads my hand and it opens the door. It starts my car. Why would we not want to chip everybody that around the world, and then we can easily track people who come over the border? Why would we not want to put a chip in our hand and it has all of our health records? That way, if something was to happen with a family member and they were in a car accident, the paramedics can scan their hands, and the paramedics can, by the quick scan of their hand, it pulls up their information. It'll tell the paramedics that they're a diabetic. It tells them what kind of insurance they have. It'll tell them the emergency contact numbers. Everything will be there. It will be desirable to a society that will beg for this. System officials, look at this, system officials hope to integrate the data with the Here Comes the Bus app, where parents and guardians can track the progress of their student's bus. There it is. The scanning system would help the system more quickly communicate with parents who may be wondering where their children are. And then there was even an example cited. A father worried his daughter didn't get off the bus, and it took officials an hour to reach the regular bus driver, only to find out she boarded a different bus with a friend. According to a report, this scanning system would cost roughly around $140,000 a year to print these cards that children would use, expecting that 20% will have to be replaced because they will be lost. That's on top of the one-time scanner purchase cost. Well, hey, let's save some more money. Let's just get everybody chipped. Then you will never have to worry about whether you lost your card with your barcode on it, because it will be right there in your hand. Y'all see where this is going, right? Then you had this story. The Mall of America introduces new facial recognition security system. What the heck is this all about? According to the report, Mall of America officials announced Wednesday they will be incorporating a new facial recognition technology to its security systems. For lawful purposes, it would probably be good, but it's also kind of an invasion of privacy, according to MA Visitor. When shoppers walk through the doors, they're a step away from a facial scan. Hearing about the technology is kind of amazing. It makes me feel safer. This is according to one MOA visitor, Mall of America visitor. The Mall of America launched facial recognition technology for an extra layer of security after fighting and shooting incidents within the last few years. Our system is not scanning faces to go find out who you are. Yeah, for now. This is according to Mall of America Vice President of Security. The mall's head of security said the technology scans the faces of shoppers for one reason, and that is to find a person of interest. People who have been trespassed from Mall of America, people that may be a threat to our environment, people who are made known to us by law enforcement. Officials say that photos of persons of interest are uploaded into the system. The digital images of shoppers are ran through a database to look for a match. If the photos are not flagged, the images are, quote, not stored in the system. But if an alert goes off, it triggers a further investigation. Oh, and just to put your mind at ease, they retrained a third-party expert, whatever that is, to come in and take a look at the system to make sure there's no, quote, algorithm bias. Don't you feel safer now? We're confident that it has a 99.3% accuracy rating to make sure that we're not misidentifying people. So there you have it, folks. Again, society is just, again, conditioning, and being more conditioned to accept what's coming in the future. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed today's headlines. Listen, this is not to spark anxiety, worry, or fear. This is to inform you of the times and seasons in which we are in. And I leave you, as always, with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come into pass, to look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, I need you to do me a favor again. Please smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then after you do all that, and it's only going to take a second to do that, do me a favor, go to your Play Store, Apple, Android, whatever that looks like for you. If you're watching the visual of this, Rumble, YouTube, under the Facebook, under the description of this video, there is a link that says download our free app. Please do me a favor, hit that link. It's going to take you there. Download our app, hit yes to push notifications. You know what? This is the reason why I want you to do this, because this is the best way to keep up with our ministry. Right there at your fingertips, every headline, every podcast, every prophecy viewpoint, everything is going to be right there for your convenience. So again, we would hope you pick that up today, and it's absolutely free. It's a blessing to you. And it's made possible by our generous supporters. Speaking of, if this message, this ministry blesses you, and we come on here every week, we equip, we edify, we inform, we educate, we do all this stuff. If our ministry blesses you in all of those ways, and you would like to know more about becoming a monthly partner, we'd ask you to pray about that. And you could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on your screen. If you look at the app on your phone or whatever device you have, you go all the way down where it says donate. You can do that. Or you can give through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can make it out right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we are going to sign off for tonight. Listen, we will not be here broadcasting tomorrow night, July 4th, Independence Night, or Independence Day, or that night. We will not be broadcasting. We're going to take off and be back here on Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great podcast. So we're going to, listen, let me say a quick prayer over you, and we're going to sign off, and Lord willing, we'll be back here on Friday night with another great segment. Father, I thank you for those listeners and viewers of our program. We ask that you'd watch over them and protect them during this Independence Day weekend, starting tonight and tomorrow into to the 4th. Wherever they may go, if they go to any gatherings with their families or friends to watch and celebrate Independence Day, I pray that you put your angels about them, protect them, and keep them from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our families. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. So God bless you guys. Again, have a great Independence Day, and we will see you guys on Friday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.